amongst one of the many errors the chosen people had fallen into was to think of the Messiah as merely a man. And so the Lord uses the very words of David himself in the Psalms to try to convince them that that was not only the case, for when the Messiah came, he would also be God. And that is precisely why the Lord uses the quote of David, "The Lord said to my Lord," that is, David recognized in one of those mystical visions that the Messiah to come would also be the Son of God as well as the Son of Man. And so the human nature would be united to the divine nature in the Son of God, and he would come in order that his enemies would be made his footstool. And how is it that the Lord brings about bringing his enemies to their knees so that this expression is fulfilled? He does so when he conquers sin by his conquest of Calvary. Not that he himself had any sin, but that his sacrifice truly reconciled us with the Father. And so the Lord, in the human defeat on Calvary, can be said to have had complete and total victory. For it was the sacrifice of the sacred humanity of Christ that purchased for us the eternal reward that we can now receive if we remain faithful to him. And so we must strive in this day and age to always remain faithful to the gospel. For as in today's first reading, we are warned that all those who seek to follow Christ will expect persecution. But yet, how often do we complain when we see this persecution coming about? Not that we are not to fight it, but we are to expect it. And so, in fighting it, we can also expect that perhaps we will also suffer a modest death, because the ways of this world will always be at enmity with the ways of Christ. And so, we have much to be grateful for, much to fear in one sense, but in another sense, the Christian never has anything to fear, for his defender is the very Son of God himself, Jesus Christ, who became man in order to deliver us from the enemies of souls. And so, ultimately, the enemy that was spoken of that would be defeated by the Messiah would be Satan and all those angels who fell with him, who go about, as the first Pope Peter has told us, goes about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, always vigilant in his conquest of souls. But more importantly, there is someone else who was even more vigilant, and that is the Son of God. For he too is vigilant in the conquest of souls. We merely have to exercise that virtue of humility by which we accept the teachings of Christ and all that he has asked us to do. And if we persevere in that life, then we will come to know that reward that he came to give us, that reward by which we truly will find that happiness we seek and find that eternal joy. But in this life, we must not always and everywhere associate that joy with our feelings and our emotions, for it is a much more deeper joy than often is mistaken for joy in this life. For how often have we heard those who claim to be joyful really simply manifesting their love of comfort? There is no contradiction to say that to have the joy of the Lord does not mean to be comfortable in this earth. And so we are not called for comfort in this side of heaven, because we cannot receive that comfort the soul desires until we have attained eternal union with the God from whom we have our being and from whom we have received all good things. And so let us strive to do that joyful labor by which we really and truly seek to conquer all things for the kingdom of Christ, that we seek to bring all things under the reign of the sacred heart of Jesus, so that quite literally it can be said that the whole of creation has praised its good God, and those souls who have striven to use all the inanimate objects in this created world for the glory of God will receive their eternal reward, most especially because they have never compromised by using the things of this world to simply seek comfort and convince themselves that that is joy. Joy is in serving the Lord, and it does not always mean that the soul will have one of those smiley, pasted smiles that we see on the yellow stickers. Sometimes the soul will suffer, but he can always and everywhere remain joyful, because to be truly joyful is to have a clear conscience, that is, to know that we are doing the will of God, or to be as reasonably certain as we can, knowing that if we are of good will and we are not doing what the Lord wishes, then in some way and somehow he will correct us and put us right back on the path that will lead to that eternal life that he came to give, because he was contrary to the ancient opinion and contrary to the modern opinion, quite frankly, that seeks through all sorts of manner to diminish Christ merely to be another human being, simply a man and not God. And so let us strive always to refute that error, that our Lord is both true God and true man, and that he has come that his Sacred Heart may reign over all the things of this life, in order that the soul may enjoy the love of that Sacred Heart in the life to come.